Father, we bless your name. We thank you for the help you've given us thus far. We commit this moment into your hands. We ask that you continue to speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have before us a message titled Living in the Light of Eternity. Living this life in the light of eternity. Turn with me to Psalm 90. Our verse is 9. Psalm 90, verse 9. We are told, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years, we spend our time here on earth as a tale that is told, as a story that is told. The days of our years are 70. That's 70 years. And if by reason of strength, they be 80 years, 80 years. In fact, the life expectancy for Finland, the most recent data, is 82 years, 82.63 years. And it's perfectly fitness. If they, by reason of strength, they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. And we see that when people get to that age, they can barely do anything. As we see the seniors, we go to the old people's home, we see how life is. Yet is their strength and labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thy anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. If life is like that, if this is our state, if our lives and our existence is just like a story that is told, and we soon fly away. Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. If life is like this, it's too short. Then teach us to live this life, only one life, in the light of eternity. Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom, so that we will not live foolishly. That is a solemn prayer, and it should engage our attention, our meditation. We're talking about eternity, and it is the very essence and existence of God. God created us in our own image. He breathed into our nostrils the breath of life, and we became living souls. Every human being then is destined to live forever in two places, either in heaven or hell. No middle place, no neutral place, no other venue apart from these. And it's either or. If you are not in heaven, you are in hell. If you are not in hell, you are in heaven. It's one of these. Our time here on earth, as we have seen, 80 years, even if you clock 100, 120 years, whatever, our time here on earth, relative to eternity, is but a drop in the ocean. In the sea of eternity. Eternity is a fact. And there are people who regard it as a fiction, as a tale. And because of that, they fail to prepare for it. And people who deem eternity as fictional, they will have the whole of eternity to regret their folly. Do you want to live and have a peaceful rather than a pitiful, sad eternity? Then be sure to lay a firm foundation. And that firm foundation should touch now and here. We don't get to heaven. It is not afterlife that we prepare for eternity. It is here and now. And begin to live this life, only one life of yours, in the light of eternity. John Wesley tells us that I judge, and I pray this will be our own mantra. I judge all things only by the price they shall gain in eternity. I evaluate every choice, every decision, every plan, every opportunity, so-called, by the price they shall gain in eternity. You weigh everything that comes to you and you ask yourself, is this going to prepare me for eternity on the law side or the other side? I pray the Lord will give us wisdom. In our first point of discussion, we look at the facts and fiction pertaining to eternity. The facts. Eternity is a fact, but there are people who see eternity as something fictional, as a fairy tale. But what does the scripture say? Isaiah chapter 22. Isaiah 22, our verse is 13. Isaiah 22, verse 13. And behold, joy and gladness. Those who don't think about eternity, who see it as fictional, as unreal, as a lie, they behold joy and gladness. All their life is slaying oxen and killing sheep and eating flesh and drinking wine, merriment and partying and all that. And they say, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we shall die. And that is the end of life. Let us eat and drink, tomorrow we shall die. And when we die, it's all over now. It's a fiction. It's a lie. It's an untruth. And you don't want to buy into that because you will have the rest of eternity, the entire eternity, to regret that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, if this life is the only life, if our time here on earth is the only time we are spending, then we are of all men most miserable. If Christians don't have any other hope apart from this one being on earth, then we are of all men most miserable. And the reverse is that those who don't have a hope in Christ, they will be miserable in eternity. Those who see eternity as a tale, as a fiction, they will be so miserable in eternity. Now look at verse 30. Verse 30. And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? Why stand we in jeopardy? Why are we hazarding our lives if there is no eternity, if there is no heaven to make? If it's a fairy tale, why stand we in jeopardy every hour? We stand in jeopardy because if this life, short life, is even over, there is a better one we are looking forward to. And then he says in verse 31, he shares some of the jeopardy, the dangers and the hazards of the ministry. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage yet aids me if the dead rise not? If we just eat and drink and that's all, then let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. If all the sacrifices, if all the hazards and the jeopardy are in vain, then we better leave, eat and drink and die. Tomorrow we die, and there's no eternity. In other words, Paul is countering the argument that we just eat and drink because tomorrow we die and it is all over. And then he tells us, he admonishes us in verse 33, be not deceived. If you have deceived, been deceived before today, the Lord says, be not deceived. Evil communication, evil association, evil friendship, evil contact, evil books, evil philosophy will corrupt your good manners. The people who are living their lives under fiction, if you follow their content and read their books, and they think that there is no eternity, you, as a child of God, begin to live your life as those people. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. I pray your own manners will not be corrupted. And if they have already been corrupted, the Lord will cleanse you today in Jesus' name. Hebrews 9:27 tells us, as it is appointed unto men once to die, only one life. It is appointed unto men and to women once to die. But is that the end of life? Is that the end of it? No. But after this, the judgment. After this, the judgment. The people who are living their lives on fiction, the people who deny eternity, they don't think about any judgment. After this, the judgment, there is a judgment. And if you know there is a judgment, then you live your lives in accordance with the coming anticipation of that coming judgment. In First Samuel, our chapter is 20. And our verse is 1. 1 Samuel 20, verse 1. And David fled from Naioth in Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, what have I done? What is my iniquity? David's life was in jeopardy under Saul. He was seeking his life, he felt threatened. What is my iniquity? What is my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life? And he said unto him, God forbid, thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing, either great or small, but that he will show it me. Jonathan, you think so? You think you know everything your father does? You don't know the wicked scheme of your father? And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so. Listen to David. And David swore moreover and said, thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thy eyes. And he said, let Jonathan know this. Let Jonathan know this for a fact. Lest he be grieved. But truly, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. This is David. Have you thought about this? That truly, as the Lord liveth, and as your soul liveth, there is but a step, a footstep between you and death. A hand breadth between you and death. And not long after this, we see Jonathan himself die. in battle. He didn't appreciate that fact that there is but a step between him and death. And brothers and sisters, we need to live our lives in this consciousness. The Lord will keep us, the Lord will preserve us, but always live your life in the light of eternity and prepare that there is but a step between you and death. Back to Psalm 90. Psalm 90. We read from verse 1. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. The people who know there is eternity to live, they make God their dwelling place. They seek the secret place of the Most High. Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations before the mountains were brought forth. Or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. He is eternal. And we have his part, we have his breath in us, that is eternal. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, you children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past. And as a watch in the night, thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep in the morning, they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thy anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years, once again, are 80 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, because there is but a step between us and death. It is soon cut off and we fly away. But the question is, where are you flying to when that hour comes? To the lost side or to the other side? Where will you fly to? What kind of ticket do you have? We'll fly away. And if that is the fact, teach us to number our days. So we will apply our hearts unto wisdom. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, our verse is 5. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 5. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail. There comes a time when desires fail. Why? Because man goeth to his long home. Brothers and sisters, there is a long home to go. Man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. It is not a fiction. There is a long home. This one is a temporary one. It is short, but there is a long home. Or what kind of home do you have? What kind of home are you envisaging? Man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. In verse 7, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. The spirit shall return unto God who gave it. That is the fact. 2 Corinthians Our verse, our chapter is 5, and we read from verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, you know what John, sorry, Paul is talking about here? He's not talking about our omatalos and revitalos and kerostalos. No. He's talking about this body. If our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God. This one is just a tent. But the eternal one we have for the believer is the real building of God, a house not made with hands. It is eternal in the heavens. For this, in this we groan. In this tabernacle and tent, we groan because we are going through afflictions and challenges, and we are groaning and we are sighing, and we say, Lord, when would this be over? For in this one we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. Every child of God, so pressed here, is looking for the time and the day when they will go home and rest. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Do you have the cloth of righteousness? Otherwise, you are naked, and you'll be naked in eternity. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we will be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. This mortality will now be swallowed up of life, eternal life, everlasting life, eternity. Now he that has wrought us for the self same thing is God, who has also given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith. We walk by faith. We walk by scriptural facts, not fictions, and not by sight. The world says that seeing is believing. Well, why should I worry about my soul I haven't seen before? For we are confident, and I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Every child of God, sincere seeker of heaven, is looking forward to the day you will go home, not more years on earth to no, God, I don't want you to come now. I still have some things to enjoy in this world. No. Present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, as we were talking about yesterday, seeking first the kingdom of God. If you are looking forward to spending eternity with Christ, are you laboring for the Lord? Wherefore we labor. That is why we stand in jeopardy every day. And this labor is not the labor that gives us bread and butter. But we labor for God, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. And this is the fact. Verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. This is for believers, and this will not be for condemnation, but for commendation, for reward. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or whether or bad. I pray your deeds will be found to be good in the sight of God, in Jesus' name. Eternity we are talking about is time without end. It is immortality. It is the afterlife. And two things set eternity in motion: death or the rapture. Death or the rapture. The people who see eternity as fictional. They are the ones who hold on to evolution. They didn't believe that the Creator gave them life, and they are accountable to that Creator. And if I evolved and I wasn't created, I have no one to account to. They are the ones who buy into atheism. And sadly, there are believers who say they know God, but they live their lives as atheists, practical atheists. There is nothing about them that shows that they are preparing for their eternal home. Euthanasia. Assisted mercy killing. Like, oh, this person is going through it. Well, I am tired of this. I don't want to live again. Then I can go to the hospital and they can help me to die. Assisted suicide to end this life. But if you believe that there is judgment, if you believe that this life is not your own, if you believe that this breath is not yours and life is sacred, you wouldn't buy into this evil doctrine. The people who hold on to abortion, they don't think there is a judge. They don't think there is eternity. They don't think there is a judgment. And we ought to refrain from all that. Death is not the end of life. It is rather the beginning of immortality and eternity. You have a never-dying soul, believe it or not. And Taylor is telling us that God has given to man a short time here upon earth. And yet, this 70, 80 years, and yet upon this short time, the whole of eternity depends. The whole of eternity, thousands and millions of years, rests on this short time you are spending here. I pray that you will prepare and be found ready. Let's look at the folly. Having seen that eternity is a fact, an undeniable fact, let's look at the folly of failing to prepare for eternity. And those who think eternity is a fiction, they fail to prepare. And that is the most foolish thing that can happen to any other individual. The folly of failing to prepare for eternity. In Psalm 49, let's read from verse 6. Psalm 49 from verses. They that trust in their wealth, their security is on their wealth, because they don't have any other home they are looking forward to. And boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and he sees it forever, that he should still live forever and not see corruption. For he seeth that wise men die. Likewise, the fool and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others, because you can't carry anything with you. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever. They see their houses, their wealth here on earth as things that will abide for the whole of eternity. Their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man being in honor, honorable man, his excellency, her excellency, whatever title they may carry, man being in honor abideth not. He's like the beasts that perish. This, their way, is their what? Folly. This, their way, this manner of life, this, their outlook and worldview and perspective towards life, is their folly. Yet their posterity approve their sayings. Like sheep, they are laid in the grave, hopelessly. Death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning of eternity. And their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. The sky, not the grave, is our goal. For the believer, God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. For those who have seen eternity as a fact, God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. He shall receive me. Welcome home at last. Welcome home from your pilgrimage on earth. Be not thou afraid when one is made rich. And we are afraid. We are anxious. We are tearing ourselves to death. Be not afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he lived, he blessed his soul. And men will praise thee, even when thou doest well to thyself. He shall go to the generations of his fathers. And the fact is that they shall never see light because they didn't prepare for eternity with God. They shall never see light. They will dwell in darkness. Because they saw eternity as fictional, they shall never see light. Man that is in honor, a woman that is in honor, and understandeth not this basic fact about eternity is like the beasts that perish. The Lord will make us wiser. We will not die like beasts, but our death, even death, will be precious in the sight of God. Luke chapter 12. Look at the chapter 12. Look at the folly of this man. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. A man's life, that is not the essence of the world, defines life by the amount of wealth you have amassed, the positions you have attained. But a man's life, if you look at life from the point of view of eternity, consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. The Lord will prosper the work of our hands, but don't stake your life to anything on earth, because your life does not consist in the abundance of the things you possess. And then he speaks the parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? What shall I do? I'm looking for where to put my investment. Yes, any startups I can help. Any philanthropic deed I can do, the ground of a certain man bring forth, and he told me, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I have exceeded my profit target for the year. This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, So you know you have a soul and you didn't prepare this soul for eternity. I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. But the many years on earth, he didn't think about the many years in eternity. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. That's the fiction. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Is that what you are living for? Are you building your life around what you are going to eat, what you are going to drink, and merrymaking? But God said unto him, thou fool, thou fool, what a fool you are to think you have a soul and only feed a soul who doesn't eat bread and butter with bread and butter. Thou fool, this night there is but a step between me and death. This night shall thy soul be required of thee, because your soul has a giver. It has someone that it will be accountable to. Thy soul shall be required. It is not yours, of thee. Then who shall all those things be which thou hast provided? That's the question, begging an answer. All the things we have acquired, all the things, all the plans, the beautiful things we intend to do, who shall they be? Verse 21. That is the charge. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself. Education is good. Degrees are good. Let's get them. But they're only for the here and now. Who layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And yesterday, as you say, yesterday, if you log into your bank account in heaven, check the balance there. Are you happy with what you see there? Are you rich toward God? What have you saved in your bank account in heaven? Will that sustain you throughout eternity? Are you rich toward God? I pray the Lord will make you rich, because he is teaching you, and you begin to apply this heart unto wisdom. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. Let's see a test case, another test case of a foolish life. There was a certain rich man, that verse 19, 16, 19, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fed sumptuously every day, every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dust came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died. Because that is the end of life, the beggar died. But because Lazarus saw eternity as a fact and prepared for eternity, and he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. He was given a heavenly escort. That is what happens to the soul of a believer when this life is over. He was carried into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died. The rich man also died and was buried. In the case of Lazarus, who, the Bible didn't tell us he was buried, and you could tell how posh the funeral of this rich man was. But what happens in the next moment, in the next verse, in the next chapter of his life? He lifted in hell, he lifted up his eyes. Was he enjoying? He was in torments. What a folly. He saw eternity as fictional and didn't prepare for it. He lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried. And he cried. But that cry will be too late. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Some prayers are prayed too late. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Hell is not fictional. I am tormented in this flame, and this is Hades, the place for the lost when they die. And he is in this state waiting for the final judgment to be cast into the lake of fire. But even there, the moment he closed his eyes, he's already feeling the flame of hellfire, tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, sorry, 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 son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receive thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But know he's comforted, and thou art tormented. Would you want comfort now and be tormented later? Or you want the reverse? And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf in, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that will come from thence. The people will say, ah, the bishop will come and pray over my dead body and I will be carried to heaven. That is a lie. He said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torments. He is preaching from hell. He is now a preacher from hell. And you are here, you are dragging your feet, you haven't yet given your life to Jesus. He says, it is not a fictional, or it is a fact. Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. They have Moses and the prophets. It's the scriptures. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, if they will not listen to the scripture that is being read from them, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Some of us are looking for a certain vision and a certain revelation that the Lord himself will, I saw him, he came to my room. I saw Jesus and he said, I am come and repent. Is that what you are waiting for? You have Moses and the prophets. You have the scriptures. At that time, they didn't have the New Testament, but now we have Moses and the prophet. We have the gospels. We are in a better situation than they. What are you doing with the opportunities that the Lord has given and is giving to you? I pray your case will not be like this. You will not end up like this. Rich man. In James chapter 4, verse 13, James chapter 4, verse 13, go to now. James is saying, hey, think about this. Ye that say tomorrow, today or tomorrow, we'll go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Beautiful plan. But where is God in all that plan? Oh, 2024, by June, I will be in the state, and then I'll travel from the state. I go to Africa, and then from there, I'll come back to Finland. And then 2025, it's for this. 2026 is that I have a 5-year plan. Where does God sit in that plan? You that say, tomorrow, today, we'll go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. You haven't thought that there is but a step between you and death. Now listen, for what is your life? What is your life? What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeared for a little time and vanished away. Life is as short as vapor. For that ye ought to say, if you are indeed a child of God, this is what you ought to say. If you are living in the light of eternity, this is what you ought to say. If the Lord will, not my will, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, to him that knoweth to prepare for eternity, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I pray the Lord will take folly from us. We will be wise. We will be wise. Deuteronomy 32, our verse there is 29. 32, 29. Deuteronomy 32, verse 29. Oh, that they were wise. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they will consider their latter end, that they will consider eternity. Oh, it is the wise who consider eternity. May the Lord find you wise. The greatest tragedy is to enter eternity unprepared. Like the rich man, like that man who said, I don't know what to do with my goods. That fool, as Christ called him. A lot of preparations go into temporary life endeavors. We prepare for so many things on earth. Marriage, wedding, exams, so many endeavors. Maybe you are already preparing. My summer vacation is going to be like this, and I'll be here and I'll do this. And wonderful. What about your soul? What about your soul? The only thing they prepare, they refuse to prepare for is eternity. Death and eternity ultimately will separate the wise from the fool. Any so-called believer who make their plans and choices and decisions and they set their priorities outside the word of God, the way of the Lord, the will of the Lord, is playing the fool. Is playing the fool. And that profession is actually a sham because if you are truly a child of God, you will set your priorities according to the word of God, according to the will of God, and according to the way of the Lord. If you fail to prepare for eternity, you will have the whole of eternity to regret that irredeemable folly. J.C. Ryle tells us that you were placed here to train for eternity. Your body was only intended to be a house for your immortal spirit. Why then lavish so much care and attention on the body at the expense of the soul, of the immortal spirit and soul? It is flying in the face of God's purposes to do as many do. To make the soul a servant to the body and not vice versa. Let's wrap up with the firm foundation. If eternity is a fact, then you need to prepare. You need a firm foundation for eternity. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17, charge them. This word charge actually means command them. Not recommend to them. Not share your opinion. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, which can't take them to eternity. not trusting on certain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good. That is a firm foundation, not just mere philanthropic deeds. They do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute for the things of God, willing to communicate, the communicate here to share, laying up in store, saving for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, eternity, building reserves in their eternal bank account that they may lay hold on eternal life. This is how to prepare, that they may lay hold on eternal life. What are we to do? How do we prepare for eternity? Seek the Lord while he may be found. This is the time to find the Lord. Call on him while he is near. Forsake any wicked way. Turn to the Lord. He will abundantly pardon. He will have mercy. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes 12, our verse is 1. Ecclesiastes 12. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. I am too young to give my life to Jesus. I'm too young to begin to prepare. Let me chill small. You think so? There is but a step between me and death. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh. When thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, or the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, the strong men shall bow themselves and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the street when the sound of the grinding is slow, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bed, and all the daughters of the music shall be brought low. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears will be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desires shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and mourners go about the streets. Look at verse 7. Then shall the dust return to the earth at his word, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Remember now your creator. In Psalm 39, what a prayer. Psalm 39, what a prayer to pray. Psalm 39, verse 4. Psalm 39, verse 4. We are told, Lord, this should be your prayer today. Lord, make me to know my end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. That I may know how frail I am. This should be your prayer. This should be your preparation. And Christ said, he that believeth on him will not perish, will live for the whole of eternity. And the question he asked in that John 11, 26, says, believeth thou this? Have you believed in Jesus? It's good to be in church, but are you really in Christ? That is how to prepare. Be sure to be in Christ. Not just in church. Let's wrap up with 2 Timothy. See a man who was prepared. A man who laid a solid and firm foundation. And the charge he gives to us. I charge thee before God, 2 Timothy 4, verse 1, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. There is judgments. The quick, the living and the dead, at his appearing and in his kingdom, preach the word. That is how to lay a foundation. Join the evangelism. Preach the word. Be instant in season. We go in winter. We go in spring. We go in summer. We go in autumn. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine, for the time will come. And that time is here. They will shall not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. Oh, I was listening to this person on YouTube, and I was listening to this influential leader here, and then I was following this one, and this one posted here, and this one tweeted here, and this one, the time will come because they have itching ears. And they shall turn their ears from the truth, the simple soul-saving truth, and shall be turned unto fables and stories. But you, watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. They will come. They are part of the package. It's not strange to Christianity. Endure afflictions. We don't enjoy them. We endure afflictions. But in your afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. You'll be laying a solid and firm foundation for eternity, for peaceful eternity. Not just eternity. The ungodly will go into eternity, but it's a pitiful and sad one. But we are looking forward to a peaceful, restful eternity. Make full proof of thy ministry. And look at this. When Paul was at the point of death, when his head was to be chopped off by Nero, and Paul said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." He knew where he was going. Otherwise, who would die this kind of death and die so peacefully? "I have fought a good fight. What are you fighting for? I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Because I've gone the last mile of the way, there's a crown of righteousness the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not only to me, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Do you love his appearing? If so, let's go before the Lord in prayer. Living in the light of eternity. You are praying, "Lord, teach me to number my days, that I may apply this heart unto wisdom. I have played the fool for so long a time. I have made choices. I have made decisions. I have made plans that were foolish. Lord, teach me to be wiser. Help me to know my life and my end, how frail I am. Help me appreciate the fact that there is but a step between me and death. Remember now your Creator. No dilly-dallying, no delay. Give your life to Jesus today. It is a sure, firm foundation for a peaceful eternity." Pastor, please take it up.
We are still going before the Lord. We are examining ourselves. The word of the Lord has come. The light has been shed upon the path of each and every one of us. How is your journey towards the heavenly kingdom? There are two places. There are two places. Pastor has told us there is no middle ground. It is either eternity in heaven or eternity in hell. And the place to make sure to decide your place of abode is right here on earth, whilst there is still life. The rich man got to the grave beyond before he came to that realization, and there was no chance for him to turn around. He was there calling upon Father Abraham and was telling him, "I still have five brethren back at home." These are the actual words of Jesus. When you go back to the scripture, you see that they are written in red. If you are not believing the actual words of Jesus, is it those who are going to rise up from their dead to preach to you, are those that you are going to believe? Brethren, this is a time to make a decision concerning our eternal life. This is a time to make decision for our eternal life. How long do we have to live on this earth? Brethren, the green leaves are falling and the dry leaves are also falling. Anyone can die at any time. Remember what David said unto Jonathan, there is but a step. If the next one could just be you, the next one could just be me. Are you ready to face your God? Are you ready to face your Lord? Are you ready to face your God? Your creator and your maker, has he redeemed you? Do you have a place assured in his kingdom? Brethren, there is surely a place to go. There is surely a place to go. There is an abode. Jesus Christ tells us in the book of John, he says, "I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you." Perhaps when he's done with preparing your own place, that is, if you're a child of God, you can go tomorrow. Are you ready? Are you ready, my brother? This is the day to examine ourselves, to examine ourselves, to examine our lives in the light of eternity. How are we living this life? Are we living it with God at the center of it, or are we basing are we also following the people of the world and saying, "Oh, this is a fairy tale. The finish will tell you, oh, unsettled. Oh, you are calling upon the name of God and you are telling him, oh, God, the scriptures have been opened unto me. The scriptures have been opened unto me. We're told that the flesh, this body will return to dust, but the spirit will return unto his God." What is he returning unto this God to do? Hebrews chapter 9 tells us, "For it is appointed unto man once to die, and after death, the soul is going there for judgment." Your judgment depends on the kind of life you live here on this earth. Oh, don't be a fool in eternity. Don't live ever regretting your whole for the whole of eternity. We still have the chance. The word has come. This is no fiction. Heaven is no fiction. Hell is no fiction. It is real. These are real, brethren. These are real. We ought not joke with our lives. We ought not joke with our souls. Are we feeding fat our flesh and we are ignoring our souls? The call has come to us for a reconsideration. You are praying and you are calling upon the Lord today. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. And you are not just asking for help, you are making the decision today. You are making the decision today that wherever you have gotten it wrong in time past, you are mending it up before the Lord today. Are you still holding on onto anger? Are you still holding on onto malice? The word has come. The word has come. The word has come. Eternity is so real. No malice will enter there. No anger will enter there. The Lord is calling us to let go of everything and to face him and to come before him in total surrender, knowing that there is a day coming. Oh, 80 years will soon pass. Oh, 40 years will soon pass and you'll be gone. Why won't you just surrender unto the Lord? Why won't you yield your heart unto the Lord? Why won't you just tell him, "Lord, I have heard and I have come to surrender. I have come to surrender. I have come that, Lord, you will break me, oh Lord, into pieces and remold me once again. And prepare me, oh Lord, to face eternity, oh God, well prepared." Oh, when Paul came to that point in his life, oh, he knew. That is why he was able to confess that, "I have fought a good fight." When you come to that junction of your life, will you be able to confess that I have fought a good fight? Or are you fighting for the Lord? Are you engaged in the things that the Lord has called you with eternity in view? Are you working for the Lord? Are you setting the foundation, the firm foundation on which you are planning your eternity? The Lord is calling out unto us today to reconsider our lives, to reconsider our lives. Are you planning without God? Oh, tomorrow I am going to do this. Oh, the next day I am going to do this. Where is the God factor? We remember the story of that man in Luke chapter 12. He said, he even acknowledged the fact that he had a soul, but he never made preparation for that soul. He never made provision for that soul. Brethren, these things are written to reprove us, to correct us. We will be fools after hearing all this, and we do not make steps, and we do not remedy our lives and make things right to be able to stand in all boldness before our God at the time, or when things come at the end. Our pastor told us that our own eternity can begin at death or at the rapture. Are you ready to meet your God? Are you ready to meet your Redeemer? Are you ready to meet your Creator? Is he your Redeemer, or he's just your Creator? He wants to be your Redeemer. It is only when he is your Redeemer that you can be able to have the boldness of Paul to be able to stand before him at the end of time. Oh, why don't you call upon the name of God? This is another day to make things up with our God, to make things up with our Creator, to make him our Redeemer, to make him the overseer of our life. Why don't you call upon the Lord? Just do away with all pride. Just humbly come before your God this day and yield all in total surrender unto him and tell God, I have heard your word. I have come in all total submission. I am confessing, Lord, every sin. Wherever I have missed it, Lord, I have come. Lord, put me back, oh Lord, on your way into eternity in heaven in the mighty name of Jesus. You have gone to prepare a place for me, a place called heaven. Indeed, there is already a place prepared for the devil and his servants and his angels. Lord, that is not a place we desire to be. Oh God, I pray, prepare me, oh Lord, to be, oh Lord, a citizen of heaven in the mighty name of Jesus. Whatsoever may be hindering you today will be able, the same will hinder you from making it into the kingdom of God. You are praying and you are calling upon the name of God. Lord, have your way in my life. Lord, I yield it all. Lord, I surrender. I give it all, Lord. I want to be with you in heaven. I am making the decision, oh Lord, today, not tomorrow, because tomorrow might be too late. I am not assured of my bread tomorrow. Lord, today I am settling it before you. Call upon the name of God. Oh, if you go before him with a contrite heart, the Lord will never look away from you. He will look upon you with his love, and he will draw you unto himself, and he will wash you with his precious blood, which is still ever efficacious to cleanse from all sins. Oh, the Lord is waiting on you. He is waiting on you. If only you will come, he is ready to cleanse. He is ready to purge. He is ready to wash. Brethren, let us be wise. Let us be wise. Let us be wise. Let us be wise. Beyond the grave, it is full of regret if we do not make the decision today. Be wise, my brother. Be wise, my sister. Be wise, my brother. Be wise, my sister. Be wise, my brother. Be wise, my sister. Look into your life. Perhaps you have been on this journey, but there have been moments of carelessness. You are returning to your God today. You are telling him, Lord, firm my feet once again on the narrow way. Firm my feet once again on the narrow way. Firm my feet once again on the narrow way. Call upon the name of God. He is ready. He is not willing that any man should perish. And therefore, if you come unto him in all sincerity, he's ready to open unto you the door into his everlasting kingdom. He is indeed gone to prepare a place for you. He is coming back. He is coming back. Are you ready to meet your God? Paul was ready. Paul was ready. And even in the face of death, he was able to confess, I have fought a good fight. Have you fought a good fight? Are you fighting a good fight? Are you fighting a good fight? Would that be the testimony of the Lord about you? The work you are doing in the kingdom of God, is it eye service or you are indeed fighting a good fight? Are you just doing eye service? Are you just being a man pleaser? When someone is there, you are doing it for sure. Oh, the Lord knoweth them that are his. The Lord knoweth those who are true servants of his. Oh, my brother, oh, my sister, you are yielding unto him and you are asking, oh God, Lord, the grace. Bring me back, oh Lord, into the narrow way and give me, oh Lord, the grace to walk, oh Lord, the narrow path until my time is over in the mighty name of Jesus. Tell him, Lord, prepare me. Where is your treasure? Where is your treasure? Where is your treasure? Is your treasure laid up in heaven? Is your treasure laid up in heaven? If it is not, you are telling God, Lord, today I'm making a decision. And Lord, I want to stock up, oh Lord, in the treasury of heaven. I want to stock up, oh Lord, in the treasury of heaven. Lord, I do not want to be like that rich man. I do not want to be like him, Lord. I do not want to be like him. Tell him, Lord, I've made the decision today. Are you making the decision today? Or your mouth is still closed, your heart is still shut unto the Lord. The Lord is beckoning, the Lord is calling. Why won't you open unto him today? Brother, my sister, tomorrow might be too late. You are never assured of tomorrow. You are never assured of tomorrow. The wise man tells us that boast not yourself of tomorrow, for you know not what a day may bring forth. You are never assured of tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation, and he's calling on us today. Why won't you just open up your heart unto him? He's ready to enter. He's ready to come in. Father, we thank you. We bless you. We exalt your holy name. For Father, Lord, this timely message at this time, oh God, that we are remembering your death. Thank you for the great work you came to do on the cross of Calvary. You died, oh Lord, so that, Lord, we will not perish in eternal hell, in eternal lake of fire. Lord, we have heard your word. Lord, we have made the decision. Lord, we have seen from your word, from the scriptures, that Lord, there are indeed two places. And there is no center ground. There is no middle ground. Lord, we have made the decision, oh Lord, to view our lives in the light of eternity. We have watched, oh Lord, and Lord, wherever we have found wanting, my God and my Father, we have opened our mouths unto you. And your word tells us that, Lord, a contrite heart you will never turn away. I pray any heart that have come unto you, oh Lord, in total surrender and yieldedness, and boy, Father, Lord, yielding and surrendering everything, oh God, to your authority and to your way. I pray, oh Lord, may you receive, may you purge with your blood even this day in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, Lord, every pitfall that, Lord, is in the life of anyone that has been confessed even today. And Lord, we are making a retreat, oh God, to follow the narrow path. We are asking, hold our hands and lead us in the way to everlasting life in the mighty name of Jesus. We are asking anyone even still right here on this platform that may still be lingering. Father, we are praying, oh God, may you have mercy. Just like, Lord, you pulled Lot out of burning Sodom, Lord, may you pull all such out in the mighty name of Jesus. My Lord and my God, may none, oh God, on this platform leave regretting it in eternity in the mighty name of Jesus. Hold us all in your mighty hand. Keep us under your mighty wings and lead us to eternity with you in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank and bless you because we know you've heard and answered us. Lord, before we exit, we pray. Like Paul, may our confession be, we have fought the good fight. We have finished our course. And now we await, O Lord, the crown of glory. Lord, you never promised it unto Paul alone, but Lord, unto all who live a righteous life. Father, Lord, we pray, help us to hold on to this promise, that at the end of time, we will see you and we'll receive our crowns in Jesus' name. We thank and bless you because we know you've heard and answered us. As we continue, we pray, may you continue with us in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Brethren, we thank God for bringing us